51 constitutions, because Michigan's separation of powers, Randy, is actually even more bolstered than the federal constitution. We've got to do something about this, and I just can't sit back and allow these rulings to stand. Now, again, I may just get completely booted out of court, and I've lost nothing. But at least we have to have these conversations, and especially going into midterms, we've got to have the conversations about judges. We've got, if this state is ever going to get out of the position that it's in, which is bottom five in nearly every important category, the judicial system has got to change.
Well, now, do you think, Ian, that there is, in fact, enough of the Supreme Court justices that might rule to at least hear the case, as opposed to just, you know, booting it out, saying, no, you know, the Court of Appeals booted it, you know, Hunter basically sent it to the appellate court because of that previous court, lower court's decision, we're not going to take our time to review the case? Or do you think we might have a slight chance of having it happen?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think that there is a slight chance, because when we were before the Michigan Supreme Court on the health department's bypass application way, way back in like 2022, we had two justices, Viviano and Bernstein, both wanting to hear our case immediately. Our case has also been discussed in the T&V Associates case, which was before Michigan Supreme Court last November, which I mentioned was kicked all the way back down. We have Judge Zara in the Court of Appeals. In his brief, he dissents and says, listen, this is of great importance. If we could go back in time, you know, this case should be litigated instead of the T&V case, because the facts are better with our case than with T&V. So there is a slight possibility that we've got already two justices in the bag. We just need two more to look at the facts of the case and the widespread implications and understand that they are directly contradicting themselves from 5 years ago when another set of justices sat there. And this is what they have to be worried about, the politicalization of the judicial system. That branch is supposed to be separate but equal. And in my estimation, in the last 3 years at least, that system, we know the Court of Appeals is, but the top court in the land, the Michigan Supreme Court, is very politicized. I mean, that's what happens when you get appointees. You get Whitmer appointees in some of these places.
Sure.
When you get DEI hires like Kyra Bolden Harris, you know, she ran for a seat, lost, and then was appointed to that seat. That's gross. So
sure.
These are just things that we need to have conversations about, let alone all the other things that we've got to pay attention to. You know, the U.S. Senate race, obviously a new governor running this time around. All these things really don't make a damn bit of difference if the Supreme Court in our land is not ruling according to Michigan's Constitution and instead are ruling the way that their appointed person wants them to rule. I hope that makes sense.
Sure, totally agree. Totally understand. Very well explained. But I'm going to back the bus up just a little bit with Judge Hunter issuing that court appearance basically January 6th. Okay, that was, 3 weeks ago, after only getting the information from the appellate court on December 22nd, you didn't even have, per the calendar, enough advance notice. But also, like you said, you still are within the period to decide whether or not, you know, you wanted to appeal the appellate court's decision. That has that time frame actually expired? So that's why you've decided to go to the Supreme Court?
Right. So one of the options was to ask for reconsideration.
Reconsideration.
Right, saying,
that's
hey,
what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
So 30 days, right? So that's the first clock to start after whatever, the 22nd, when the ruling came out.
Sure.
So Judge Hunter should not have put out a motion for a hearing, correct, until that 30-day clock had at least expired. And then the 42 days is what we have for appeal to Michigan Supreme Court. So if we had asked for a reconsideration, we could have gone 30 and then another 42 after that to ask for the Michigan Supreme Court appeal. We decided not to go with the reconsideration, probably because it would be a waste of time. And if you were to read the brief, you would understand why. I mean, they plainly say that, you know, the Michigan Supreme Court has the precedent, if you will, with the T&V Associates case. Therefore, you know, we don't believe that they would ever take this up on appeal or take this up if we were to rule in favor of Iron Pig, which bums me out, because let us take that on. Rule in favor of us and let us make those arguments, right?
Sure.
But sure. Zara did make some really good points, and we've got a few feathers in our cap. Like I mentioned, two of those Supreme Court justices a few years ago wanted to hear our case immediately on bypass application. The state has been afraid. When I say the state, the health department, whether local or state, has been afraid of our case. They goofed up, man. When they gave me that cease and desist, that was my toehold into everything. That's what T&V Associates, the catering company in Macomb, did not have. We had direct action taken against me specifically as a person, not just a business. So the facts in our case are much better and cannot be pushed aside as easily as T&V. They took T&V all the way up so they could create a precedent, if you will, to push all these other cases, not just me, but any other case that were ever to come up saying something happened during an emergency that the government said was an emergency. The emergency has been rescinded. Therefore, there's no problem anymore. The emergency orders are gone. The pandemic is gone. Everything is okay, man. It's cool.
Yeah. So why are you doing this? Don't worry about
the Constitution. It's okay. We won't do it again. We promise.
Yeah. Yeah, like we really
and history
trust
has told us, yes, history has told us that that is a complete lie.
Now, just a point of clarification, because you guys didn't even receive notice, you didn't even appear on January 6th, did he basically find you guys in default and granted the motion to dismiss the case from the health department, or did he just simply stay it?
No, he essentially stated. He didn't actually state it, but really what he did was just basically sent out a memo saying, you know, hey, where the heck were you guys?
Right.
And we could reschedule that hearing. So there was no negative outcome of that, but
okay,
it just simply has to be – so part of what it is Judge Hunter does not get many things taken up on appeal and then sent back to him. So that's partially why I think he wasn't understanding that 30-day time frame. So really all we have to do is send a memo, say, well, now what we're going to do is say, hey, you know, everything's on hold. Sorry, crisscross from the local health department. You guys get to take a side seat because Michigan Supreme Court has to say yay or nay first. And then we're going to come back to you and say, hey, sorry, man, you don't get to have a conversation about mooting out the rest of these statutes based on one ruling on one statute. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, not going to happen. So to be clear, you and your attorney, David Delaney, making the decision to file to appeal basically the appellate court's decision to the Michigan Supreme Court, this then will stay that action. Like you said, it'll hold up Judge Hunter's court and the health department's request until the Supreme Court makes that decision. Now, if they make the decision that they won't take up your case, they won't hear your arguments, does that then default and go all the way back to Judge Hunter, or do you have to still deal with the Court of Appeals?
No, that essentially it defaults back to Judge Hunter.
Okay.
And this is where crisscross will pick up, and he'll try to say, well, the Court of Appeals mooted out MCL 333.2451, and Iron Pig was asking 2451, 2453, 245, you know, all these statutes that we asked. They're essentially saying, we want you to rule on those other ones because Court of Appeals ruled 2451, you know, is fine. So he wants Judge Hunter to rule on the other ones, and he essentially can't do that, but we'll have those arguments down the road in that hearing if they so choose to continue to spend taxpayer money. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
This attorney is at the behest of our local health board, our board of health. So can we get over to the board of health and convince them to stop spending this money? And or will the state and Attorney General Dana Nessel allow the local health department to not litigate this any further? Because they can at any time, she can send in a state attorney general to take over this case. That's what would happen, in my opinion. That's what would happen if the Michigan Supreme Court takes our case. A state's attorney general is going to pop in there and argue that case. I can guarantee it's not going to be, you know, crisscross from Cummins, McClory, and whatever clown show.
Right. Well, now, I got
they're actually, they're a great law firm. I shouldn't say they're a great law firm, and there's a lot
of
great
I know. I'm just kidding. Yeah, we're kidding. We're kidding here, folks. So, now, remember back in the day, I actually drove up there after my show. The health department had a meeting in the afternoon. You were there. David Delaney was there. Brett Gooding was there. I was there. I actually brought my tripod, and I videotaped that hearing. And it was that board, that health board, with those particular county commissioners, Ian, two from each county, Charlevoix, Antrim, Otsego, and I believe Emmett, that made that decision to go forward to continue this situation. Well, then they backed off and said, no, we're going to drop it. But it was actually you that stood up and made the comment, well, we may decide to continue to fight this anyway, even though you guys are trying to throw in the towel. Refresh everybody's memory on that. And my second follow-up to that, we have a new health board. We have new county commissioners. Is this something we actually need to have a second meeting over there and see where the local health board as the client, whether or not they want to continue fighting you in court?
Yeah, very good questions. So with respect to when that Board of Health meeting you're talking about, I wanted to hear how those Board of Health members were going to vote, whether to continue to try and stick it to a local business or not. And I'm glad that they didn't. And regardless if they had decided to or not, we were going to move forward. So I was happy that they listened to a local business person, and not just me, but everybody else that was there to support and have supported us. They listened and they said, we're not going to continue spending your dollars on fighting a local business with a judge's ruling out of Otsego County. That's when I then got up and said, okay, I'm not satisfied with just this ruling. We need to take all the rest of the power in these other statutes. So yes, the health department is the defendant in our case now. I'm the plaintiff, they're the defendant. So I am coming after the health department. It's a state statute, but it was administered by the local health department under former director Lisa Peacock. So essentially, what my complaint is now, they won. They won at the Court of Appeals.
Sure.
All these other statutes the judge basically didn't address, so they're still in effect. The one that they're upset about is 2453, which says the local health director may limit the gathering of people for any purpose and may establish procedures. That statute and the state version, which says the state health director may blah, blah, blah. Those are the two statutes that shut down the entire state of Michigan. That local statute, 2453, is no longer in existence in our six-county area with our judicial system and our Board of Health covering these counties. That's the power that they want to claw back, that they want to keep spending money on. And I told you earlier that they are liars, that they want this power, right? They're in one hand, they're saying, oh, man, the emergency is over, the pandemic is over, vaccination rates are up, blah, 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 so there is no emergency. You shouldn't be in court anymore because there's no emergency. But on the other hand, they want this power for the next emergency. So it just doesn't make sense. And this is the part that angers me when they come after me trying to spend more money to get another hearing, to get more judicial conflict. That's when I was like, you know what? I've had enough of this. Once again, you people are stepping over the line. So I have to. I now have to go to the Michigan Supreme Court so we can continue these conversations about what these people are doing in contrary to judicial rulings from the past, from the recent past, not 50 years ago. I'm talking 5 years ago. So this is the kind of stuff when you hear boards all around the state going against what the locals want, like in, say, Saline, where they put in trying to put in a data center or something. All of a sudden, you start hearing about the commissioners are trying to pass this thing when there are tons and tons of people that are showing up to these meetings that don't want them. Why do we have these people in these positions if they're not listening to us? And I fundamentally have a problem with an unelected official writing an order with the effect of law. And again, that's what the court system is saying, is that a bureaucrat can write an order and it has the weight of law. We know this to be true. They tried to arrest me. They arrested Marlena. They tried to arrest Carl the Barber. I mean, come on. Nothing has been done in 5 years, Randy, so what am I supposed to do?
Right. And to your knowledge, isn't this the only surviving final lawsuit that is actually challenging these bureaucratic agencies, these legislative statutes? Your case, I believe, is the last one standing, isn't it?
With regards to the health department,
yes.
And pandemic orders, absolutely 100%. We have other arguments that contain, or other cases that contain similar separation of powers violation arguments, non-delegation violations. Those are some of our Public Act 233 court cases. But as far as the pandemic stuff, yeah, I'm the last man standing. And in my opinion, that's what they want to get rid of. We're coming into an election year, and they don't want to be having the conversation about 5 years ago anymore, and they're just about finished with it.
Now, let me ask you on that point. Why, with all the things we went through regarding the China virus last time, and even with COVID making somewhat of a comeback, apparently, with this variant flu thing that's out there, and some people are testing positive for the variant flu, some are testing for COVID. I've heard all kinds of stories. We're heading into a major election. Like you said, Perry Johnson just got in, the businessman, changing the complete dynamics. Kevin Rinke still may get into this race. This is a pretty big election upcoming. New governor, new U.S. Senator, all the state reps, all the state senators. We've got a big election here. Do you think maybe the reason why they're trying to keep this power is because of this upcoming election, and that they may stage another, you know, pandemic situation prior to the election in November?
Man, I really don't want to believe that.
Yeah.
I really don't. But it is something that you have to consider, or at least, in my opinion, go through that thought exercise. Deep in these things, as I have been for 5 years, and people constantly, you know, complain to me, you know, why are you still crying about this? Why are you still blah, 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 get over it already? And it's like, well, listen, I don't think you understand the complexity of what they're actually trying to do and how it can be used in other arenas. And all of it is crushing Michigan. Regardless if Whitmer had shut down our state the way that she did with those orders, the mechanisms behind everything that happened are still there and are still bolstered. And that's really the problem. And at the end of the day, I feel bad for anybody that is running for a statewide election, or honestly, any public election, because in my opinion, it looks like we have a lot of fraud happening. And you probably know better than I do, but if anything can be done, Congress needs to pass the SAVE Act at the federal level. We need voter ID, all this stuff. I think we can really start to turn things around in Michigan if our elections are extremely transparent. There are other things that need to happen too. You shouldn't necessarily be having open primaries, I think, could fix things on the Republican side.
Sure.
But you have to ask the question, could this be used in the same manner as it was before? And the answer is, unfortunately, yes, because the majority of the mechanisms of power that they use are still there. Yeah, we knocked down a state statute, 2253, to limit the gathering of people, but there are at least six more that can be used. And let's not forget, the Emergency Management Act still constitutionally allows the governor for 28 days to do virtually whatever they want. But they have to go back to the legislature to ask for another 28 days of a lockdown or whatever it happens to be. And my hope is anytime we come into another public health emergency, that at least they stick to the Emergency Management Act and stay within the confines of the Michigan Constitution. That way our elected officials are involved. We can call them up. We can email the Ken Bortons and the Michelle Huatangas and say, no, we don't want any more lockdowns. Or yes, we're being devastated by whatever is going on. Please lock us down in our homes for another week. I don't know. Again, well, I don't want to think that that could be true. But you're a fool if you're not at least going through some of that thought exercise.
Well, the reason for it is this. I am always a person that looks at process and I connect the dots. And when I saw Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist drop out of the race for Democrat nomination and then announce he was running for Secretary of State, well, Northwest Michigan Business Conference up here at the Bear this past week had all these candidates show up. Well, Jocelyn Benson was the only Democrat that showed up. I don't know if they invited Chris Swanson, the sheriff from Genesee County, or not, but he wasn't there. And when Garland Gilchrist got up to speak for 15 minutes as a Secretary of State candidate, he was still in governor mode. He was talking about fixing the roads and bridges not falling down. And I mean, it's like, guy, dude, you're no longer running for governor. You got to come up with a stump speech for Secretary of State. Well, then fast forward, I covered another MERS story, Ian, that says basically Jocelyn Benson has been coordinated. She is now officially the front runner and is going to be the Democrat candidate. And I'm going, wait a minute, isn't this the same Secretary of State that, along with Governor Gretchen Whitmer and also along with her health departments, aren't they the ones that locked us down and then forced us to stay 6 feet away from watching and doing our job as poll challengers down in Detroit during the November 2020 election? This Secretary of State is running this election while she is going to be the Democrat candidate. And it's like something is just starting to smell funny, brother.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And unfortunately, and this is just one person's opinion, my opinion, Benson may be exponentially worse as governor than Gretchen Whitmer.
The reason why I say that is
Gretchen is not a dumb person. Obviously, we have some disagreements. If I were to meet her in person, I'm sure it would be a very cordial conversation. You know, I have some level of respect for a person that can rise to the level that she has, right? That doesn't mean that I have to agree and we can't disagree. But what I'm trying to say is that person actually has some level of intelligence. Yeah, I think she's beholden to some certain people, but in my opinion, Jocelyn Benson is not that smart as Whitmer and is beholden to way worse people